You know, 2 weeks ago, I preached on the subject of dealing with doubt. Has doubt ever entered your minds? Occasionally, right? Sometimes we doubt, are we going to get through this? Is it going to actually happen? And then last week, I preached on discouragement. So I went from doubt to discouragement. We talked about Nehemiah, for those of you who were here last week, and how he prayed and how he fasted when he was being discouraged by so many forces that were coming at him about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and how he prepared not only himself but others to deal with the discouraging mantra that was confronting them, and how he helped his group stay above discouragement. And oftentimes I've discovered that discouragement or doubt could lead into discouragement, and I've discovered that discouragement could lead to depression. And so that's what I'd like to talk about this morning in my final D. You know, medically diagnosed depression affects more than 17 million people in the United States every year. 17 million. I believe it's higher than that because of the pandemic. I've often heard people struggling with depression because of the isolation and the changes in the norms of life that we have experienced these past 2 years. How we visit one another, how we sit in church wearing masks, hand sanitizer, and a lot of people are depressed over this new norm, if you will. Do you know that CDC reports, this is the most troubling of all for me, they report that children ages 3 to 17, there are over 2 million kids that struggle with depression every year in this country. Young people. And I know parents keep an eye on that. I know teachers, our daughter is a guidance counselor, and she tells us about some of the kids in middle school dealing with this issue, and they try to help navigate these kids through these difficult times. I guess what I'd like to say is that depression is real. And I know this is going to burst your bubble, but even Christians struggle with it. Right? Every time we see one another, we keep that game face on. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good, right? We've got the cliches going, but Christians struggle with it as well. And I believe depression introduces all kinds of effects of pain, of withdrawal, right? Most times when you're depressed, you pull away. You don't want to deal with people. You don't want to deal with situations. There's a strain on the family. There becomes work-related problems, maybe calling in sick or not functioning up to your ability or what is required of you on the job. Relationship problems and so much, much more. Depression is real, and depression has an impact not only on the individual, but collectively in the circles in which we deal with, family and so forth. I believe that it's not God's will that God's people be depressed. Okay? Perhaps some of us here today might be dealing with depression, slight depression, medium depression, serious depression. I don't know. But in fact, I will admit something that I would have never admitted years ago, and my wife will attest to this. I'm presently being treated by the World Trade Center Health Program under counseling and medication. Because, you know, I was brought up by a father from the greatest generation who says, if you admit to that, you're weak. But I want to tell you something. I think if you admit to it, you're actually a very strong person. And so I had to deal with some stuff in my own life. And the World Trade Center Health Program is helping me get through it. You see, it is time that depression be brought into the light of day and not looked upon as some evil that we need to hide from or fail to admit, but that most people go through it, and to admit it and to say, I need help, I think is very courageous. Contrary to what my father used to preach to me, never hang your laundry out on the line for the rest of the people to see. People who go to counseling are weak. But that was that generation. And it was instilled in me, but as I get older, I realize that that's not true. That's not accurate. And it should not be adhered to. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Depression may not be consistent. One could go through episodic moments of depression. There are certain circumstances that may cause it for that moment. And I want to say something to you. It's perfectly normal for someone to feel down over a given situation. But what is depression anyway? You know, the professionals say depression is a disturbance of our mood. Something that rocks our mood, something that strikes at our mood, causes a mood shift, a mood swing. When we think of depression, for instance, think of a depression in the road. We have many of those on Long Island. They're called potholes. I call them foxholes. But a depression in the road is a hollow place, a low place that causes you to dip. Your car will dip. And by the way, anybody who's traveled down Station Road, I say, thank you, Jesus. They covered it, and now I could drive without losing the shocks on my car. But it's a dip in the road. It causes us to dip. Our car dips. Our tires dip into that depression in the road. And the same is true when we go through a depression period in our lives. There's a dip in our mood, something that affects us. Webster's Dictionary, in part, defines depression as low spirit. Our spirits are low. When we say that the economy is going through a depression, it means there's a reduction in the activity, the economic activity going on in the business world. People are buying less. And I thought to myself, boy, that holds true for depression. There's a dip in the activity in our lives. We're not functioning on all cylinders. We're not functioning up to our capacity. One experienced depression could feel blue, melancholy, anxious. We lose interest in things that once interested us. Loss of sleep, too much sleep, fatigue, decreasing ability to make decisions or not wanting to make a decision at all that needs to be made. I had a friend, his last name was Anderson. We served together in Connecticut, a pastor. And he was Native American. And nobody knew he was going through depression until he took his own life. And you know what they discovered behind the bookcase in his office? Were months and months of mail, unopened, that he just threw behind the bookcase. Isn't that sad? Nobody saw it. Nobody saw what was happening. But he didn't want to deal with anything. So he would lock himself in his office. The mail would come in. He'd just throw it behind the bookcase. People are irritable sometimes, or even become very lethargic. They don't want to interact. Some lose weight, some gain weight. Sometimes depression causes us to overeat, and sometimes it causes us not to eat at all. And we need to be aware of that if we're going to minister to one another in the church and beyond the walls of the church. A Harvard study declares that women experience depression twice as much as men. Now, I believe that's askew. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because guys won't admit they're going through depression. Women, and I know this is a general statement, women are more communicative, they're more sharing, and perhaps maybe they will seek attention to help themselves. Men tend to pull back, and to be masculine and to be manly is to never admit that I'm struggling. And that's something I had to deal with, even in my own life. We certainly witness depression in the Bible. I mean, we read from the Psalms this morning. David consistently dealt with depression. And this is a pillar in the Bible. I mean, you know, talk about King David, the warrior, the one who slew the giant. Yeah, even he. I just finished reading a great book written by Bret Baier, To Rescue the Republic. It's about Ulysses S. Grant. And in the book, it reveals how some of the generals, the great generals that we read about in our history books, struggled with depression. Guys like Sherman, Grant, Sheridan. And who would blame them for dealing with depression, with the mayhem that they witnessed on a daily basis, the deaths of soldiers and innocent civilians, the casualties of war. And so even these great generals dealt with depression. You know, Grant was known to enjoy his cigars and every now and then a shot of whiskey. And by the way, he was a Methodist. But you see, those who wished to undermine him, he was not an alcoholic. And I know, I learned as a kid that Grant was an alcoholic. No, he wasn't. Every now and then he liked a little nip of whiskey. And several people tried to undermine him because he dressed in a private's uniform with general stars on his shoulders. He was an everyday kind of guy. He was not big on himself. He was very humble. And people thought they should be higher than him in military service. So one time a general went to President Lincoln to complain about Grant, a falsehood, and said he was an alcoholic and he was a danger on the battlefield because he consistently drank whiskey. And I love how Lincoln responded. He said, "Listen, find out what kind of whiskey he drinks. And then order barrels of it and send it to the rest of the generals." Because that's how effective Grant was. You see, what Grant witnessed during the war had a tremendous impact on the rest of his life. And anybody who's ever been in war understands that. I once had a member of my church. He was a high-ranking executive in IBM. And he came to my office and said, "Pastor, I'm just struggling with terrible depression." Now, this is a guy who went way up the food chain in IBM. He said, "I'm just not happy. I don't feel fulfilled in my job." So I said to him, "Well, what kind of job would you feel fulfilled in?" He says, "You know what? I always wanted to be a nurse." I said, "Then why don't you become a nurse?" Now listen to this. He left IBM, and with the monies that he accumulated in stock and so forth, and with the tremendous help of his lovely wife who had a job and was making decent money, he went to nursing school, graduated, works as a nurse, and I never saw him so happy in all the time that I knew him.
Woo-hoo.
You see, that's a nurse who did the woo-hoo.
Yes.
So you see, there's times when, yes, we have depression, and a little adjustment, a little slight change in our lives could set us on a course that will get us out of that rut that I spoke of earlier. Now listen, I'm not talking about clinical depression, folks. I'm not talking about folks that need to be treated medically and be on medication and all of the things that people should seek out. There's nothing wrong with that. I know Christians who say, that means I don't have enough faith. That's baloney. You need help, you go get it. But I'm talking about episodic moments of depression. I'm talking about when depression has to do with our circumstances, our situation, and the environment that we're in at that time. What's going on in our lives? Again, the misnomer that unfortunately prevails in many sectors of the church today is that Christians don't struggle with depression. I have a Greek word for that. Baloney. What I would rather say is that depression could affect the believing Christian, but the Christian has hope in Christ to get through it.
Amen.
Take someone who mourns the loss of a loved one. How could you not be depressed? How do we tell people who struggle over the loss of a loved one, just get over it? Doesn't work. Not when you've lost somebody you love so dear to your own heart. Doesn't work that way. Just get over it. And I got news for you. You will never get over it. You'll get stronger. But you're always going to miss that person who was so significant in your life. And it's fully understandable and it's natural. And God has given us that sense to be able to grieve the loss without being judged that we need to move on. Doesn't work that way if you've ever lost someone you love. But the Bible says in Matthew, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." We'll be comforted in the midst of our losses. That doesn't mean that we won't feel the sting of it all. The whole subject of depression is not easy to pin down. It's just too complex. But one thing I know, that God will comfort us in the midst of our depression. I've seen the Lord mightily at work in persons' lives, helping to heal of bad memories of things that happened in their lives in the past. The ability to forgive somebody else and even forgive themselves for things that they may have done. Overcoming fear. I've seen people struggling with addiction of drugs and pornography and gambling and overeating. I've seen them overcome that due to a higher power, and to us that higher power is Jesus Christ. I love what James writes in James 5:16. Listen, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And you know what that says to me? We help each other heal from depression. We have each other. I've had people tell me their church family is closer than their own family. That's what the church is about. I've always said this. I've always seen the church as a first aid station, a hospital, where you come limping in here, and through a prayer and through the love of your fellow believers, you leave feeling a little bit stronger, a little bit more erect, and filled with a whole lot of more hope than when you came in. I always say this, if you feel worse having come to service, you need to go find yourself another church. If you come into church and go, oh man, What a bummer that was. Give me root canal. It's time to find another place to worship. Some people are depressed over guilt, things they've done. I know I look at your angelic faces. I know you've never done anything wrong in your lives. But it's good to know that we could go to a forgiving God and say, Lord, I messed up. Don't forget what Paul said. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Me, you, everybody. But we could go to a forgiving God and say, Lord, I messed up. I repent. I missed the mark. But will you forgive me? Will you wash me clean with your precious blood? And then you pick yourself up by the bootstraps and you continue to march on. Don't be depressed over things that you've done in the past. Put it under the blood of Christ. And so David cries out in our text, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. People today are experiencing increased stress in our lives. Our circumstances and our environment and what social norms are across the spectrum may be different from how we grew up, and it's causing all kind of chaos within the ranks of society. That's why our nation is so divided. But one thing I know, no matter what changes in our society, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He never changes. I don't care how society changes. Jesus never changes. You see, church, somewhere along the way, we may have become derailed. And it's time to get back on track with God's help. Perhaps God never intended us to travel down that track. And God's trying to steer us onto another track, the one He has always intended. Church, get focused back on Jesus. The Jesus that Paul declared that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. We need to stand on that proclamation. Lord, I'm going through a tough time in my life. And I'm depressed. I'm down. I'm in a rut. Help me get through this. Give me the strength. Simple prayer. Start every day by asking God, before you step out of bed, Lord, take control of my day and take control of my life today. Commit your day to God every day. To overcome anger and temptation and discouragement and being too critical of others or being too critical on yourself or myself, to be more tolerant of others, to be less self-centered and more loving toward others that Barbara mentioned earlier. All throughout the day, don't let your prayer be one and done. All throughout the day, say, help me, Lord. Help me get through this day. Help me get through this moment. Spend more time reading the Word of God. I always say, rather than having more of the Word, I say get more of the Word inside of you so that you have something to draw from. I want to tell you something from professional military and police experience. You cannot fire a weapon when there's no bullets in it. Ain't going to work. Got to have something in the quiver. When you got the Word of God in you, when things arise that are challenging you and bringing you down, you got something to follow. Do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, by prayer and petition, make your needs known. And God will give me that peace beyond all understanding in Christ Jesus, and He'll guard my heart and mind. It's in you. So when you're going through that anxious moment, you got a weapon. You got a bullet to put in that prayer. We need to get rid of grudges. Get right with people. Even people have died that you had a bad encounter with. Let it go. Spend quality time with your loved ones. Yesterday, my wife and I went to our grandson's basketball game. And that was a great game. They won 29-3. I think the referee robbed them of one basket, though, but we'll leave that alone. And then from there, we went to my brother's church in Hoppog, and we engaged in a service in his church, and I got to spend time with my brother, my older brother. Almost every night, my wife and I play Korean cards, and I win most of the time. I'm like a Korean. And we play for favors. Whoever wins, you ask the other person for a favor. You know what my favor is always? Give me a kiss. Her favor? We got to go out. We got to do this. We got to do that. Break the routine, church. Do something different. Take up painting. Read a book. Build birdhouses. Go for walks. Do something out of the routine that'll shake you out of that rut. As much as possible, do something for somebody else. You know what I've learned? When you are busy doing something for somebody else, you don't have time to think about what you're going through. Amen. Right? You get a double blessing. Ask the people in the food pantry ministry. They're giving out food. They're talking to people. They're encouraging people. They don't have time to be in a rut. Will we get out of this instantly? No, probably not. It's a process. But over a period of time, when we put these things into play, things will begin to change in our lives in a positive way. And so David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a steadfast spirit. He says, do not cast me from your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit that will sustain me. It can be done, church. You know why? All things are possible with God. Let go and let God and watch things happen. And so, Lord God, I just pray for my beautiful brothers and sisters here today. I don't know what they're going through, but you do. They may not know what I'm going through, but you do. And I pray that anyone who is sensing a downcast spirit, anybody who is in a rut this morning, anybody who's struggling with something that is slowly sapping them of their joy and their peace, that you would restore in them a new spirit and lift them above their circumstances and cause them to be on the move as a mighty witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen.